Cool. So the title of my message this morning is called Living Your Best Life. Can I have my first slide up? Yeah, there it is. Awesome. So it's called Living Your Best Life. Let me pray. Lord, we're so thankful as we come around your word this morning that your word brings revelation and change. Holy Spirit, we open ourselves up to you. Lord, that it's all about you. And we're so thankful this morning that you're here. And in the name of Jesus, we give you praise and all the glory. Mighty God, rivers of living water flowing down from your throne, blessing upon blessing, grace upon grace. Lord, we're just so in awe, so thankful, Lord Jesus. Lord, open every door, open every heart, open us to see more than we've ever seen before. God, use us mightily. Use us for your kingdom, Lord God. We love you with all our heart, all our souls, all our strength, all our mind, all that is within us. We give you praise. Amen. Amen. Next slide. Hashtag best life. I don't know if you've seen this phrase before, best life, on social media. It's typically on like Facebook or Instagram. And it's a photo of you sitting on the beach. Normally it's a picture of your toes. And there's an amazing sea. Got a bit of a lemonade or a drink and an umbrella in the ocean. And it says, can I see the next slide? Out here, living my best life. Hashtag best life. And we all want to be living our best life, right? Yeah. Yeah, man. But here's my question for you. Can I have the next slide? Is that really your best life? Or is that just a really good holiday? Yeah? I'm not preaching against holidays. This girl likes holidays. I love holidays. I love getting out and seeing sights. I love the beach. And I love four-wheel biking, and I love adventure, and anyone who knows me knows that I love getting out and going away on holiday. I love all that. But that's not really living. That's not living your best life. And thankfully, that's not living your best life, especially with what's happening in the world today, right? So many people are upset because they can't get out, they can't go away on holiday. So many people think their best life is over because they can't get out. And they can't go overseas and they can't get out and travel. So many people are fearful because of what is happening in the world right now. But let me tell you, next slide. Your best life is fulfilling the purpose that God created and designed you for. Amen. That's really when you are most fulfilled. That's the sweet spot of life, right? And no matter what's going on around you, your best life, when you are in the purpose of what God has created and designed you for, you're not really living your best life on holiday, right? It feels good. It's important. It's important to get out and rest, relax, and connect with your friends and your family. But let me help you. Sometimes in life, we can go through stress. There can be a time of struggle and pain or fear. And when you go away on holiday, for a moment, you suppress that stuff. Yeah? You shift your focus for a moment. You forget that stuff for a moment, and you're there and you're like, yeah, this is my best life. This is awesome. But then you come home, right? And you need another holiday. But when you are living your best life, you're able to consistently refill because you are living inside of your godly purpose. No matter what is going on in your world or around you, you are able to refill because you're living inside your purpose. God is the God who sustains us. He is the one who sustains us. He is the one that will sustain us through all that is happening in the world today. God is the God who sustains us. In Psalms 55:22, it says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you." In Psalms 73:26, "God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Philippians 4:19, "God will supply every need of yours, every need." John 14:27. "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. When you're living your best life, fulfilling the purpose that God designed and created you for, he will sustain you. Next slide. I love this guy. This face is just, it's so, it gets you excited, right? God created you on purpose for a purpose. Created you on purpose for a purpose. Most of us think that life is happening to us. But really, life is happening through us. It's actually happening through us. Yeah? Next slide. In Psalms 139:16, it says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." I love this because it gives us a picture that God's not just looking at the totality of your life. He doesn't just have a plan for your life. He literally has a plan for every single day of your life. Every single day. No matter what is happening in your life, in your world, in the world, every day God has a plan for you. And we know in Jeremiah 11:29 it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." It's a powerful statement about our good God. He's so good. In every corner of the world, God's people will face trials all over the world. And while he won't necessarily deliver us from those troubles, he will give us the hope and strength to walk through them. And we will thrive in the presence of the Lord as we go through trials and tribulations in our life. Yeah? Despite daunting circumstances and in the face of great challenges, God is in control. God is in control. He calls us to work with him. Time and time again, we've seen that God brings that promise of hope and strength to people through people. People like you. The trouble with most of us is we kind of look at life as this overarching thing. Someday in my life I'll have this. Or sometime I'll do this. Or one of these days. But you need to realize that is the compounding days. It's each and every day that is compounded together that makes your life. Yeah. God has a plan for every single day of your life. Next slide. Listen to this. In John 10:10, "A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I come so they have real and eternal life and better life than I ever dreamed of." Yeah. The challenge with us is that we say to ourselves, does God really want to do something great through me? Why do we think this? It's because you know you. right? We write ourselves out of God's plan because we know ourselves. We go, yeah, God can do something great through Pastor T. But not me, because I've missed out. Yeah, he can't do anything great through me, but boy, God will do something great through Pastor Graham. Because you know how messed up you are, right? How many of you know how messed up you are? The challenge is we write ourselves out of God's plan because we know ourselves. We know us. But I tell you the truth. God knows you as well. God knows you. Nothing you have done or do will ever disqualify you from what God wants to do through you. He still wants to use you. God doesn't make mistakes. I've learned that. God does not make mistakes. He didn't mess up calling you. He didn't mess up. He didn't say, oh, can you guys move over here? Can you come over here? Can you serve in Sunday school? He doesn't say, oh, actually, no, I didn't mean you. I meant this guy. He doesn't do that. He doesn't have a case of mistaken identity. He didn't get the wrong person. He called you. But he won't make you do what he has called you to do. At some point, you have to decide, I'm going to walk out the plan that God has for my life. The plan that God has for all of my days. Everybody say today. Turn to somebody and say, today. That's when I want you to make this decision, today. Not tomorrow, today. Decide today is the day that I am going to fully, honestly, faithfully walk out the plan and the purpose that God has for my life today. Next slide. A man is destined to die once and after that face judgment. Most of us aren't putting this scripture on our fridge or in a like a photo frame nicely decorated up on our wall. As you walk into your house and you see this scripture, a man is destined to die once and after that face judgment. Yep. It's not up on the wall in your house. I know. Yeah? Because we don't really want to think about it. We don't want to think about death. Most of us don't want to think about judgment after death. But the truth is that we are all going to die. And all of us are going to stand before the great white throne of judgment to give an account for our lives. All of us. You know, I became a pastor not to tickle your ears, but to come and tell you the truth. It's my job to help people walk through this life, but not just this life, but to also set you up for the life to come. For the next life. We don't like to talk about it or we don't like to think about it, but we have to. We have to think about it. But you can't help but think about eternity, right? Every now and then, you can't help but think about it. Because the Bible says God has placed eternity in the hearts, yeah? You got eternity in your heart. And so we have to live our lives preparing ourselves for this life and for eternity. Next slide. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to start thinking and praying about this every day. Psalms 139, 4 to 5. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. My life is no longer the width of my hand. An entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Human existence is but a breath. But how many of us live like we're going to live forever? Yeah. Here's the thought. What if we start living our life like we had 30 days left? Wow. 30 more days together. I wonder how trivial things would be or become if we thought we only had 30 more days. I wonder how prioritized your life would become if you thought you only had 30 more days left. How would you live? Here's how you would live. Next slide. You would start living to leave a legacy. Because your best life is not the life that you're living now. It's the life that lives beyond you. I want my life to live long after my life. Next slide. A righteous man will be remembered forever. Psalms 112:6. A righteous man will be remembered forever. My life is more than my life. I don't want to lead a church to say, look what I've done. Look at what we've built. No, it's not about that. It's about your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your great-grandkids' kids. So that when we are long gone, the legacy carries on and on and on. So if you want to live your best life, there's four things that the Bible gives us to do. Next slide. Living your best life. Live with consistency. You have to live with consistency. Have you ever been behind somebody driving and they can't figure out what lane they want to be? They don't know what lane they want to be in. Or behind someone you don't know who doesn't know the lane they're in. If you're behind someone who doesn't know the lane that they're in. Some of us are like that in our lives. If you don't know what lane you're in, in the end, it causes a problem, right? And some of us are like that. He's saying, pick a lane, man. Pick a lane. Are you going to live for me or are you not? Are you going to pray or are you not? Just live with consistency. Proverbs 25:14 says, like clouds and wind, without rain is a man who boasts of gifts he does not give. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. Oh, yeah, I'll show up, I'll do this. And you don't keep your promise. Oh, I'll return it as soon as I'm finished. I'll start my diet tomorrow. Some of us live our lives like that. But what if we lived our lives consistently in worship? Wow. What if we lived our life and consistently in prayer, consistently in devotion, and consistently asking God, what do you want me to do? Consistently in godly character and integrity. Next slide. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. How does that happen? It happens with consistently good decisions. How will your legacy define you? You have to live with consistency, and you have to live with consistency in mind. Next slide. Living your best life. serve with intensity. You've got to serve with intensity. Remember when you were a kid and somebody said, what do you want to do when you grow up? When I was really young, I wanted to be a princess. Obviously. Then when I was a little older, I wanted to be a teacher. Lots of kids nowadays want to be famous. They want to be a pop star. But no kid ever says, oh, man, I want to be a servant. Nobody says that. But listen to what the Bible says. Next slide. Proverbs 14:21. You will earn the trust and respect of others if you work for good. If you want to live your best life, live your life that serves others with intensity. Be intense about serving others. The disciples had the same question. They're literally with the greatest servant of all time. He teaches it all the time, and still they have this conversation, and they're fighting over who's going to be the best. Next slide. Mark 9:34-35. On the way, the disciples had argued about who was going to be the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. At some point, you've got to realize that it's not about me. I'm so grateful for people who serve intensely. Those who stay after church to clean up, vacuum, lock up. Those who go out teaching your kids during service time. Those who come to church to clean the toilets and to set up the chairs every week. Those who give up their Friday night serving in youth ministries and other ministries in the church. The youth kids and young adults who take the rubbish out and do the dishes and set up for all the events that we run. Next slide. Our church can never do all that we are called to do without you. God has called you. There's a reason that you're here. There's a reason. Some of you guys have wandered in and you're wounded or hurt and need healing. And that's awesome. What a great place to come. Come and get healed. But some of you have been healing for a long time. For some of you, it's time to receive the healing and join the army. We're called to do what God has called us to do and to walk in our purpose and live out our purpose. Next slide. The third thing. Living your best life, give with generosity. You've got to give with generosity. The Bible makes it very clear. Next slide. We make a living by what we get, but we make a legacy by what we give. It's not about getting. In fact, if you're about the accumulation of stuff, it doesn't make you happy. Stuff doesn't make you happy. Next slide. The power of happiness is in your giving. It's in your generosity. Next slide. Psalms 112:9. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. When you're a giver, when you are generous. Now, I'm not just talking about your time and your serving, but I'm talking about your money also. It's so important to talk about, because if you're not generous with what's in your hand, it reflects what's in your heart. If you want to know where your heart is, follow the money trail. We have to learn how to give generously. Listen to this. I was starting a new job at Linden Primary School. And I was moving from one primary school to another. And there was a lady that I met there a few years back. And on my first day, she asked me what my name was and what the kids would address me as. And so I said, my name's Jolene, and they'll call me Mrs. Sale. And she asked me how I spelt that, and I said, S-A-L-E. And she asked me if I knew a man called Scott Sale, who used to work at Greenacres School. Well, she was talking about Scotty, my husband. And I told her he was my husband, and her eyes filled up with tears. Scott doesn't know I'm sharing this today. Her eyes began to fill up with tears. And she said that Scotty had given her some money. This is before I knew Scott. Scotty had given her some money. And he had said that God wanted to bless her. He had told her. And he gave her some money. Then she proceeded to tell me that she was going through a terrible divorce. And that she was having to pay for everything. All her living costs now, and she had a little girl, and she was paying for custody battles, and it was a really dark and lonely time for this lady. And she told me that she had no money for Christmas at all, no money for her daughter, and no money for food for Christmas Day. And then as she was crying, she told me that Scott came after, and I think it was the end of the year, school year, and Scott was still in his first year teaching, I believe, and he had just given her some money, and she said that because of the money that he gave, she was able to buy dinner for Christmas Day and a present for her daughter for Christmas. And she was just so blessed and so thankful. Now, that happened before I even knew who Scott was. I never had met him before. And I didn't know who he was. But I was so blessed to hear about that and the power of the act of generosity that it had on her life. I don't think Scotty even realized the magnitude of it. You know, he just saw a need and filled a need. God uses people to bless people. Sometimes we're waiting for God to turn up with a blessing, but you forget you're someone's answer to their prayer. When you begin to give generously, you will prosper. Next slide. Proverbs 11:25. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. When you become generous, you will give. When you sow into the kingdom of God, he can't help but bless you. Next slide. This is my last one. Last slide. Living your best life, share Christ with urgency. Last thing, you have to share Christ with urgency. With all that is happening in the world today, we have to stand up. We have to share Christ with urgency. He has called you to live beyond you. How many of you guys have ever told somebody about Jesus? Raise your hand. Yeah, man, look around. That is why God is doing what he's doing here at this church. Because this church is not afraid to stand up and share Jesus. And share him urgently. Invite them to church. Invite them to church. Share your personal testimony. In fact, I would tell you, share Christ with people is more important than just inviting them to church. Share Christ. Share what he's done for you. No one can argue your own testimony. No one can argue that. I was invited to a church, and I walked in, and so many people were saying, "Hi, it's so great to see you. We're so happy you're here." And I hadn't even gotten into the foyer, and I was thinking, these people are really weird. This is really weird. And then I kind of come into the auditorium, and, you know, people were going, "So great that you're here. It's awesome to meet you." And I was just so excited. And I was like, these people are super weird. Who are you? Then during the service, I realized they weren't just excited about me. These people were just excited all the time. And then I realized that they were excited about Jesus. I'd never seen that. When I first walked into I'd never seen it. But I wanted that excitement. I wanted to be that excited about something. That's what I wanted. And I gave my life to Jesus. Praise God. And I'm committed to living my best life. My best life, fulfilling the purposes that God has created and designed me for. How about you? Are you committed to living your best life? Will you allow Jesus to lead you into your best life? Sold out for the plans and the purposes that he has for your life.